Hello everyone and welcome back to Make Better Wedding Films, home of new ideas for radical films about people in love. My name is Ben, I will be your host, and before we get into the show, we've got a couple of announcements from our sponsors. First of which is MusicBed, the home on the internet for the best music for your films, hands down. Now, a while ago I promised I'd be making custom playlists, and there is a new one coming. Do not fret, dear listeners, a new custom playlist is on the way. In the meantime, why don't you check out all the other amazing curated playlists on the MusicBed platform? They've got playlists based on genre, feel, you know, playlists from your favorite creators and wedding filmmakers from around the world. So make sure you check out MusicBed and use the promo code MBWF to get your first month free when you sign up, and let us know that we sent you, which helps out the show. Our second sponsor is Studio Ninja. Now, today we're talking all about systems and frameworks to support your creative business. And a CRM like Studio Ninja makes all of that so much easier. It'll help you automate email send-outs. You can create custom workflows for leads to help them turn into clients and help you get more bookings and take all that nasty admin out of your head and into their software, which just makes your life as a wedding filmmaker so much better. So make sure you sign up with the promo code MBW50 and get 50% off your first year with Studio Ninja. Alrighty, that's it for the announcements. On to the episode. You, my friend, are a beautiful, wonderful artist, a pure creative heart, but you're also a business owner. And often those two modes of operating can so often get confused and get in the way of one another. So on today's show, I'm talking with Darren Smith on the concept of cultivating a creative business mindset and how we can build the systems that support it. My name is Ben, and this is Make Better Wedding Films.
My name's Darren Smith. I'm the founder of a company called Craftsman Creative, but I like to consider myself a creative entrepreneur because I have my hands in a lot of different things. I'm a film producer by trade. That's probably historically been about 80% of my annual revenue. But this Craftsman Creative business came about right during the pandemic, and it came out of my love for just helping my creative and artistic friends figure out their business stuff. Because we'd go to lunch and we'd sit down and they'd be like, how do you do it? Like, I haven't figured out how to make money doing this thing, but I have this passion for music or film or art or whatever it might be. So those conversations turned into kind of a consulting business where I work with creative entrepreneurs like myself, generally business owners. But if you are at the point where you're considering yourself a business owner, then I work with you as well. And it's just been really fun to help people like build more resilient and profitable businesses that are, I like to call it a bespoke creative business, because it's specific to them, their desires, their outcomes, their lifestyle. And helping them do that is something I love, because it's very similar to the strategy and logistics and all the stuff I do as a film producer. It's just applied to a different type of business.
Yeah. Amazing. That's awesome, man. And yeah, when you got in touch and I started looking into all the things you're doing and stuff, that idea of like building the bespoke creative business really stuck out to me. And it's something I wanted to sort of dive in on, because it's like, there's so many of us, you know, we get into this game and we're not business minded, we are creative minded, and we sort of stumble into people paying us to do what we do well, and then eventually figure out the business later. So I think having discussions like this are great for creatives to really get, I guess, like up to speed, especially when you've been in the game for a few years, and just sort of, just slowly start to figure out how to do things better, make your business work for you, and make it work for your client too. So we were chatting a bit before we kind of hit record around one of the questions that came in from someone on Instagram being like, cool, like, how do you do this and actually get paid properly? So do we want to kind of like roll off on that, on the kind of idea that like thinking, I guess, thinking about your business in a bespoke way rather than just like, here's like a guaranteed way off the shelf to kind of like run our business and just like cookie cutter fit it in, versus I guess what you're saying around this kind of like bespoke business, like, is it, what's the benefit of, I guess, like, it sounds like it would be doing things the hard way versus just like, here's the obvious way to make things work. what's your perspective on, I guess, creating this sort of more bespoke approach to a creative business?
Yeah, everything that I do starts with mindset. So I'm going to start there. And it's cool. The first part of my framework that I work with people on, right? I have a really solid framework of like, here's where you are, here's where you want to go, here's the path of least resistance to help you get there. And so it really starts with mindset. The biggest thing that I've found working with now like thousands of people, because I have a newsletter and I have a podcast and I have all these ways of interacting with creative individuals, the thing that comes up so often are these limiting mindsets, because they see themselves as an artist who's trying to make money as opposed to a business owner who runs a business that is profitable. And so that mindset shift is the very first thing I work with people on, where it's like, you're seeing your work and your day-to-day and the way that you're approaching everything is with this artist mindset. You're saying, the only way I know how to make more money is to do more art. So let's apply it to your audience, right? You have wedding videographers, mm-hmm. right? So how do you make more money? Either you charge more or you do more weddings. And that's the mindset that most people have. Well, what if you don't actually want a business where you have six other wedding videographers working for you so you can make more every month? Or you are in a market where maybe it's not like high end. Maybe people aren't paying $10,000 for a wedding video package. They're spending $1,500. How do you charge more in that scenario? And then what if you don't want to do 100 weddings a year, right? Mm-hmm. You don't want to be working every Friday and Saturday and then spending Monday through Thursday or even Friday morning or Thursday mm-hmm. till midnight editing the stuff you shot last week, and you're on that hamster wheel that never ends, right? So that's the approach that a lot of people take when they're starting out. They are a freelancer, a contractor, they have a skill, whether it's video or editing or art or dance or film or whatever it might be. And they go, I want to do this for a living. So they go out and they do that art for a living. And at some point they reach that, you know, whether it's 10 years in or a year in, they're like, I'm not making enough, but I don't know how to make more. And they also don't want that kind of business that they see someone else have. So that's what I mean when I talk about bespoke. You got to think about, what kind of business do you want? Do you want to shoot 10 weddings a year or 100? Do you want to charge 10 grand or 1,000? So all those things come into play. And the first, very, very first thing to do is to shift your mindset from, I'm no longer just someone with an artistic set of skills, but I actually have a business. And a business is different than just having an artist set of skills. Mm-hmm. There's so much more that goes into it, but the business becomes the vehicle that allows you to unlock the kind of lifestyle business that we're all after. If we're solopreneurs, if we're individuals, if we're companies of one, however you want to phrase it, mm-hmm. we have to have a business in there that's providing a lifestyle for us. And it's as different for you and I as like, if you and I were to go on to Zillow and look for our favorite house and send each other a photo, there's no chance that it would be the same house, right? It's the same thing for creative businesses. You have hundreds, thousands of videographers that in your audience. Every single one of them has a different desired outcome as far as what they want their business and lifestyle to look like. So you got to start from there, shifting that mindset and then defining those outcomes. And now I'm getting ahead of myself. So I'll pause there because I feel like I've said too much already.
That's fantastic. No, and this is great. And so I think from the outset, it seems so obvious, but I think it's a trap that a lot of creatives fall into, where you start thinking about, well, what's the art I want to make versus like, what's the kind of like lifestyle I want my business to facilitate. You know, like, do I want to be doing the 10 grand weddings, or do I want to be building a business that can scale with multiple videographers? Like, what's the thing that's going to work for you? So I think now's probably a good time to, I guess, maybe take that one step further, where like, okay, like, I've got the mindset. That feels like the easy thing. Maybe you could prove me wrong, but it feels like, yep, okay, I've switched my mindset into that. What do I do now?
I will push back a little because it's not a switch.
Yeah, yeah.
It's definitely not flicking a switch. It's not like read this book and your mindset will be fixed. For me personally, it probably took 18 months to 2 years of like consistent daily effort of like mindset work, like having new rituals and habits, to reinforce the new mindset of I'm not just a freelancer, I'm not just a videographer, I'm a business owner. But when that finally was realized, that's when I started creating multiple six-figure a year businesses, because I was like, oh, I'm a business owner, so I can do this and this and this. Instead of creative projects and having 20 clients a year, I was like, no, I just want to have a couple of different businesses that have clients a year. It just completely changes everything. But it's harder than just you listen to a podcast and now you have mindset. Woo!
Yeah.
Folks, it doesn't quite work that way. But I have a lot of resources. I have a book out there you can get for free, and I'll give you a link so you can put it in the show notes and give to all your listeners. It starts with mindset. There's a whole section on how to do that work. So I'll leave that there. But the next question was, correct me if I'm wrong, how do you do it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot that goes into that too. And I feel like there was maybe a different part of your question that I'm forgetting, but that's okay. We'll move forward.
We can move forward, yeah.
The next step in the framework that I work people through is these outcomes, defining what the outcome is. So it's really a process of how much money do you want to make? How much time do you want to work? What kind of location independence do you want? What kind of partners and clients do you want to work with? Because what I see happen so often is people just get the skills up. They get to the point where they can charge, let's call it 50 an hour, 100 an hour, or 1,000 for a project or for a wedding package. And they go, great, 1,000 is a lot of money. So now I just need to do 100 weddings a year to make $100,000. But part of the realization as you go through this process of defining the outcome is you realize if you want to make $100,000 a year as a wedding videographer, personal pay, which would be great. Most people could live a nice life anywhere in the United States, especially most places in the world, off $100,000 a year. But your business needs to be making probably $150,000 to $250,000, depending on what your overhead looks like, if you have contractors that are helping you create the deliverable
for your clients. How much outsourcing
you're
doing, and yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And are you buying equipment often? Are you a film-based, this happens a lot with photographers. If they're a film photographer as opposed to a digital, their overhead is a lot more. And if they're not charging their clients for that, that's eating into their profit. So all these things come into play when you're defining the outcome. And again, it goes back to looking at what kind of lifestyle do you want? Because I have a buddy named Chris McLean. He's a very well-known wedding videographer. But part of the year, he goes to Disneyland and shoots videos for them because he loves it and they pay him well. Now, not everybody is going to be able to do that. Not everybody wants to do that. But that's very unique to his business. His bespoke version of a wedding video business is, I do some commercial work on the side.
Yeah.
Great. Does that mean he's not a wedding videographer? No. It just means that he figured out what works for him and what kind of lifestyle he wants to have. So it's going to be different for everybody.
Yeah, and it may take a while to figure that out, and there might be some trial and error, because I've noticed that myself, where I thought that exact format would work for me, some weddings, some commercial, but after several years of doing that, I found I was actually trying to run two full-time businesses, and I'd get to the end of a busy wedding season, be drained, have a huge backlog of editing, and then have to switch my brain into, got to find commercial clients, got to jump on LinkedIn and talk to marketing managers. I was getting burnt out trying to run two full-time businesses at 70%. And so I had to sort of look at myself and go, okay, no, this format isn't working for me. This is not working for the kind of lifestyle that I want to be working towards. So I'm going to switch more into full-time weddings and and if the commercial stuff comes, it comes, but I'm not going to stress about chasing that and stress about building a whole nother self-sustaining commercial video business. So it may take some trial and error as well.
Yeah. There's two wedding photographers that I've worked with building courses for them. So that was how my business Craftsman Creative started, was some online courses, and then it expanded out and started doing partner courses and stuff. But there's a gentleman named Tyler Rye and then his friend Jeremy Chow, and I did great courses with both of them, and they're really high end. One, Jeremy does high end editorial level video, or not video, but photography. And Tyler does these insane adventure elopements where he travels people to the Dolomites and hikes them out 4 hours in a wedding dress and then takes pictures in these epic landscapes and vistas and stuff. But both of them said this exact same thing, which was essentially, if I'm paraphrasing, you get what you pitch for. whatever your portfolio that you're putting online, that's what you're going to get more of. But there, that only works to a point. You have to kind of pick one thing and do that. Because as soon as it's like one, two, three, many. And if you have more than like two things that you do, especially if they're very adjacent, like commercial video and wedding video, they're kind of similar, but completely different, like you said, completely different markets. Like you're talking about marketing managers and wedding planners, or even the brides themselves who are making most of the decisions. So that's not going to work because they're two different markets. But you could say I do travel wedding video and I also do high-end wedding video or something like that where the market's the same. But as soon as you say I do corporate video, I do documentaries, I do wedding video, I do, you know, videos of your dog in the backyard because you want to give me $500, what happens is you look at your portfolio, whether it's your website or your blog or your Instagram, your ideal customer might be a $10,000 wedding client. But they're going to come to your Instagram or your profile and they're going to go, oh, this is not a wedding videographer. They do everything. I'm looking for a wedding videographer. So then they go to the next person in the search function, and every single video on their YouTube or their Vimeo or their Instagram or their blog is wedding video, wedding video, wedding video, wedding video. They all look consistent. They all have the same vibe and aesthetic and color and musical choices and all those things. So that wedding videographer is going to get the gig because they've said, this is what I do. And if this is what you're looking for, hire me because I can do this for you. And you look at someone's portfolio and they've done it 20, 50, 100 times. It's an endless scroll of, wow, this person does this thing. They're going to get the gig. It's because they've focused so much on this is what I do instead of I do everything. And that goes back to mindset of I'm not just a do-it-all videographer. I do this one thing. It's this price. It's this style. It's this look. It's for this type of clientele. And if that's not you, hey, I could recommend you or good luck finding someone else. But you got to be willing at times to say no to the little side hustle gig that comes through because you're desperate for money.
And do you have perspective or thoughts on this in terms of people you might have coached on something over the years around, like, as you're developing this mindset, similar to what I talked about before, where I found this sort of like trial and error perspective, is there a better approach to discovering as you're building that mindset, like discovering like what's the work you want to do, who are the clients you want to work for, what's the portfolio of work you want to be building? Because some people might not know. They might say, well, I like this and I equally like this, and if I try and do it all, it's going to be very uncohesive. So how do you find the thing to follow? How do you find your kind of North Star of like, this is going to get me to the kind of place I want to get to?
Yeah. Part of it's giving yourself enough time to figure out if you like something. But I really, when I'm working with people, generally they're at least a few years into their career. So they kind of have dialed in on, I want to do podcasts, or I want to do film or television, or I want to do wedding video, whatever it might be. They kind of already know that by the time they get to me. I'm rarely working with like a college student or a recent grad who says, I want to be in a creative field, but I don't know which one. But if for either of those groups, I would say you have to be willing, this goes back to mindset again, you have to give yourself enough time. And I think too often people give themselves weeks instead of months or even years for something to really stick and to work. Like I've been doing this creative, craftsman creative thing since really since August of 2021. So that call that like 30 months or something, whatever the math works out to be, year and a half, 2 years, maybe it's 18 months, I don't know. But I've been doing it for that long and I just crossed like issue 100 of my newsletter and I'm making another shift to my business and to my target, you know, ideal customer 100 issues in because it's that long of a process to really dial in on it. So if you're going, I want to be a videographer, I think, and I'm going to do 3 weddings and see how it goes. And man, 2 of those clients really sucked and I only made $2,000 total, this isn't going to work for me. Well, you just haven't given it enough time. It might be a year or 2 or even 3 until you're like, oh, I'm in this business and in this industry and I'm good at it. And this is what I want to get better at, or this really isn't working. What I would say too is if you want to try to do two things, like right now I'm a film producer, but I'm also like a consultant for creative business owners, right? Mm. How do you square those two things? It's been hard for me to figure out. For a long time, I was using Twitter for my creative entrepreneur consulting stuff and Instagram for my I'm a film producer stuff. And that was an easy way to say, if you're following me here, you're going to get this type of content. This is what I do. And that worked out really well. I got film gigs from people following me on Instagram, and I got clients and customers coming into my ecosystem from being on podcasts and talking about this every day on Twitter and LinkedIn, as far as the creative entrepreneur thing. I'm still trying to blend those so it makes sense in one sentence. I haven't figured that out yet.
Yeah.
But that just goes to show it's a process. I've been doing creative work since 2006. So we're talking 17 years, if my math is right. Yeah. You know, and I'm still evolving and figure things out. And like, I didn't think I would be running events last year, but I ran an event in January and it was awesome. Yeah. And I loved it. And I'm going to do another one in August. Like, you're constantly evolving and those things, and it's okay. But you got to give yourself enough time to really see if it's going to stick, if it's going to work, if you can connect with the market and if you enjoy it.
Yeah. I think that's probably, it's probably the frustratingly realistic answer that is that for some people it will be obvious, for other people it will take a long time. And I mean, people like you and me who have these kind of like two areas that they kind of run side by side and trying to figure out how they mesh and stuff, and everyone's going to have their own process and timeline for how this all kind of like solidifies and crystallizes. But I guess to kind of, move on now is to sort of go, okay, for some of us, this is going to take some time to really figure out like what is the clarity that we need to kind of like move forward in our business. But sort of like, let's sort of, I guess now acknowledge that and sort of move on and use the example of say, okay, I'm solid in the fact that I want to be a let's just say high-end luxury wedding videographer. That's the sort of market I want to go in. I don't want to be the destination elopement person. I don't want to be the sort of large scale business doing 100 weddings a year. I'm going to focus on, let's say, 15 weddings, and they're going to be, 10 to 20 grand weddings. How would you go about, I guess, probably going back to mindset again, like sort of thinking about that business as a creative entrepreneur? Would you look at other luxury wedding filmmakers? Would you look at other types of business? Like, how would you go about thinking about that business versus a destination elopement filmmaker or a, large scale brand?
Yeah. There's two parts. That's such a good question, first of all. So thank you for that. There's two parts. So the first part is understanding who your actual buyer is. Who's your market? Because just use those two examples. If it's an adventure elopement, they don't have a wedding planner. They don't have a team. They don't have anybody. It's two people going, we want to go and elope in Italy or somewhere in the world that's awesome or special to us. We want to hire one person, want that person to like handle most of it for us. So you kind of become a de facto wedding planner. You're like maybe calling the person who's going to marry them and saying, hey, I got a gig and I'm going to be here and I need you to, helicopter in as well or whatever. And you're putting the entire day together for that person. Now, that will not work if you want to be, if you want a clientele of high-end wedding videography clients, because the bride is not making the calls to the vendors and saying, I want to hire you. Who is? Well, it's the wedding planner. Because if they have $10,000 to spend on photography or videography, that means they're probably spending an equivalent amount on a venue. They're spending tens of thousands of dollars on all the accoutrements that goes with that level of wedding. And the last thing that you're going to do is get on a call with a bride and try to convince them to hire you, because the bride is not doing that stuff. They have a wedding planner for all of those calls. So that first shift is a mental one. Like you said, it's a mindset shift of, oh, I got to understand who my actual market is. And how am I going to craft my marketing and my portfolio and my social media to attract wedding planners instead of brides?
Couples, yeah.
It's an unfortunate reality, but it's a very different thing. But there are plenty of people who have 1,000 followers on Instagram and are doing big business, you know, 250K a year as a solo videographer or photographer because they understand that difference in who their market is. But let's take it a step further and say the second thing is you need to treat that entire process like a business owner. And so I'm going to say a scary word here for a lot of creative individuals. Like, artists hate this word. It's the equivalent of like a four-letter word or, you know, kicking a cat in front of somebody. It's bad. The word is spreadsheets.
No.
Artists don't like you, spreadsheets.
Dan. How dare you use that word?
I got another one. Tracking.
No.
We're going to track things in a spreadsheet. And so yeah. the reason I named my business Craftsman Creative, there was an individual named Cal Newport who wrote a book called So Good They Can't Ignore You, which I highly recommend. Mm. But in it, he talked about the craftsman mindset, which is an outcome-focused approach to creative work. It's not about find your passion, pursue your passion, et cetera, et cetera. It's about what do you want and then reverse engineering your way to get there. So I've used a couple of scary words: engineering, tracking, spreadsheets, outcome focused, right? But that's how I view all of this stuff. And so I named my business Craftsman Creative because of that idea of the craftsman mindset. So here's what you do. And if you have, like, press pause and get out a notebook or get out a spreadsheet, and this is literally what you're gonna do right now, okay? On the far right side, you're gonna have clients. Or sales. You could call it sales, but sales is another icky word. We don't like sales in artist business. So let's call it clients, because clients are wonderful. That we have relationships with clients. Clients love us and they return and they hire us again. So how many clients do you want? Do you want 10? Do you want 50? You can just write a number down, but really think about it and go, okay, if I want to make $150,000 this year and I'm going to charge $15,000 per wedding or $10,000 per wedding, that means you have 10 or 15 clients. So put that number down far right corner. Now move one column to the left. How many calls do you need to have in order to get 10 clients? So let's say on average, one out of every four people that you talk to about doing a wedding hires you. Well, that's pretty decent. Like, high-end, like all-star salespeople at big companies, if they had a 20 or 25% close rate, they would be making millions of dollars a year in some of these big, big companies, right? 20% is solid. So one out of every four, one out of every five people you talk to is a client. They say yes, they're gonna hire you, they give you money. Okay, so if you want 10 people, 10 clients to hire you in a year, and you have to multiply that by five, because that's 20%, you have to have 50 calls a year, which means you need one every week, and then you get to take 2 weeks off. Okay. So then, and each step of the way, you're asking yourself this question: do I have that many? And so question number one, do I have 10 clients lined up right now for this year? If the answer is no, go to the next column. Okay. I need 50 calls a year. Do I have 50? No. Okay. Go to the next column back. And the next column back is how many people are becoming leads into your business? A lead is someone that you have the ability to contact them. You have permission. It's not just DMing them on LinkedIn or Twitter or Facebook or whatever. It's not a cold outreach. It's that they've given you permission to message them. They downloaded your ebook on the perfect wedding videography strategy, or they watched a video that you did that was behind an email capture form, or they joined your email list, or they did something where they gave you generally an email address, or in some situations, a phone number. You may even have on your website, if you want to talk to me, give me your email and I'll send you a link to my Calendly or whatever.
Yeah, and so I'm gonna jump in here now, because I think you've thrown something out there that I think a lot of wedding videographers never even thought of, which is the idea of building an email list, or the, you know, because the standard procedure is you have a website, you've got your work on it, maybe a few testimonials at the bottom. There's a form that says, tell me when your wedding is and I'll get in touch. I want you to sort of expand on a little bit of what you just mentioned there, because I think a lot of wedding filmmakers might think that are aware of this kind of concept, but not that it pertains to us. So could you expand on the idea of, I guess, like, creating content, blogs, advice, videos, all this kind of stuff as a sort of different approach to gaining leads to the traditional kind of contact form at the bottom of our website. What is that kind of approach? How does that play into everything?
Yeah, that's exactly where I'm headed. That's so perfect, because ultimately the truth is in the results, right? That's why we're asking ourselves this question every step of the way. Do I have 10 clients? No. Okay, do I have 50 calls? No. Okay, do I have, call it 250 leads? Because let's just do a base 5 every time, meaning let's multiply by 5 every time. If you want to be really conservative, you multiply by 10. So in order to get 10 clients, you need 100 calls. So you need 1,000 leads. So you need 10,000 people. What's the step before that? They need to visit your website. Okay, so you have this process where with your content, you are, the whole goal of your content is to get people off of a platform and onto your website. And then your website's job is to get people from being a visitor to being a lead. And then your email follow-up system is, how do you get them from being a lead to getting on a call? And then your call is about getting people from being a caller to a client. So you have what I call these four core systems. You have to get people from being part of an audience to being a prospect, then a lead, and then a client. Okay? So audience, prospect, lead, client. And you need systems, another scary word. You need systems in place so that you don't have to spend 20 hours a week doing this stuff. So you need your content to be out in the world, but it has a purpose. It's not just, here's another video. It's, here's a video, and let me tell you about this video and how it came to be and why it works the way it does. And then you are asking people who are interested in learning more, check out more on my website, right? And that's maybe where you're doing a deeper dive into the background and the story and the blah, 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 which makes you someone they want to work with because, wow, you care about the day and the ease and how great it was and the lighting and the location, and you're a great person to work with. That's what your content is doing. It's pulling people out of a random scroll on Instagram and going, wait, that's different. I want to learn more. And learning more means getting off the platform onto your website. But then you can't just have the generic Squarespace, here's a video swiping automatically every 5 seconds, because that's not engaging. And it's what every other videographer is doing. So you got to figure out how to stand out. And I know there's probably thousands of people that are listening to this right now, and they're all going, well, how am I going to stand out? Well, that's for you to figure out. Take on that business owner hat and go ask yourself the question, how do I stand out? How do I make my website a little bit better and different? So it's not about me. It's about the person visiting and what they want. Well, what does a wedding planner want from a wedding videographer? They want someone who's awesome to work with, who responds quickly, who's going to take action and like go forward even if they're not asked, right? Like they're going to show up. They're going to be there. They're not going to be constantly pestering them on text like, where's the venue again? Can you send me a pin again? I'm 4 hours late, but it's because I'm lost in my baggage, you know, blah, 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 blah. No. So you got to show them in like 30 seconds on your website that you're someone that they want to work with, that you're reliable and that you're a pro. And then once they actually give you their email, don't just be like, cool, I got an email. Like that should be part of your system every day where you're checking your emails and going, oh, I got a new lead. Hey, person, I'm so excited that we found each other. When is a good time to hop on a call so I can tell you about how I can make your day the perfect day as a wedding videographer, whatever you want to use. So you've got to have these systems in place, content systems, email follow-up, sales systems where you're getting on a sales call and like you can actually convert one out of every 4 or 5 people into a client. And then you've got to track that every week. So you're basically saying, did I have a call this week? Every month you need a client. Every week you need a call. Every week you need, you know, 25 to 50 people turning into leads. Or what was it, 5 people every week into leads? And that means you need like 100 people a week visiting your website. So your content on social has to pull people and do that. And so to wrap all this up, if you don't have 10 clients, then go to the next column over to the left. Do you have 50 sales calls? No. Then go one more to the left. Do you have people visiting your website and signing up as a lead? No. Okay, one step further. Do you have people visiting your website? No. Okay, your social media content is not doing its job. So start there. Don't worry about your sales calls. Don't worry about your website. Fix the social media part first. and then go from left to right and work on each step until you have the desired number that your target is, right? So you might need 10,000 impressions a week on social media where, you know, 1,000 of those are clicking over to your website and 100 are becoming leads, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
I love that. That's awesome, man. And I think it's this great, like, right-brained approach to this whole process, because I think a lot of us, like, a lot of winning filmmakers just go, like, yeah, but if I just, like, do better work, the people will come. If I just, like, put better stuff out there, if people think they can just, like, create their way, you know, into a more profitable business. And I think the approach you're talking about kind of just, I think maybe just like takes the pressure off that. It goes, okay, like here's a big scary thing, like building the business of your dreams. Let's just like compartmentalize, like, you know, more and more granular down to a simple task. And I think that's potentially a really kind of freeing systematic approach to a lot of creatives that they might not have thought about. So I think, I think a lot of people will be listening to this episode today and going, ah, okay, something new and logical and simple for me to just try and see if this works. I think it's a great approach. So yeah, thank you. That's awesome, man.
Yeah, I mean, I will say that hope strategy that you were talking about, that will work for one listener in this audience, but that listener is not you. So don't use hope as a strategy. Like, I hope that doing better work is going to lead to more clients. Okay, you got to take responsibility for the results and the reality of your current situation. So if you have one $10,000 client a year and you need 10, hoping is not going to 10x your business, unfortunately. It'd be great if that were the case, because we're all really good at being dreamers and thinking big and thinking about the kind of clients that would fly us to India for a whole 8-day wedding and we'd get paid $75,000, right? Mm. Like, I know wedding videographers and photographers who have that kind of clientele. They didn't get there because they hoped, and they didn't get there in 3 months either. It took them years to establish the kind of history and work ethic and connections and all those things that they needed to be able to be the desired person for that type of project and that type of client. So it's a lot. It's a lot. And the story or the anecdote I always love is like, the question is, how do you eat an elephant? Mm-hmm. And the answer is one bite at a time.
Yeah.
So you're not going to listen to this podcast for an hour and then a week later, you're going to have all these things in place. So when I work with people, it's generally 6 weeks just to like understand it all and start implementing some of these systems. And often it's 3 to 6 months that it takes, because you also have a business to run in the meantime. So you're not going to be devoting 40 hours a week to building all these systems out and getting them operational and identifying the constraints and fixing those things and optimizing it further and further. That's a thing that takes time. What I love to do is simplify as much as possible, because I know that a lot of the people I work with, and probably a lot of people in your audience, are very left-brained. They're creative, they're artists. They don't like that systematic, regimented, okay, every Monday at 9 o'clock, I'm gonna look at my tracking spreadsheet, I'm gonna put in 4 numbers, and I'm gonna look at the data and analyze it and optimize it. It's like, F you, man. Why would I ever do that in my business? That's not what I signed up for. Yeah. Well, okay. But if you want the outcome of a bespoke creative business that's paying you 6 figures a year individually, like personal pay, it requires you to make that shift from thinking like an artist who just does the work to, oh, I'm a business owner and I have responsibilities to make all these areas of my business present and optimized so that they're delivering the desired outcome on a daily, weekly, monthly, yearly basis.
Beautifully put. Really, really beautifully put. Amazing. Well, Darren, thank you so much. And if people are interested in diving into more of that long form, you know, 6-week process with you, maybe in some of your mentoring or courses, where can they find out more about your approach?
Yeah, well, there's two places I like to point people. So one, I created this free scorecard. And a scorecard is basically like, if you've ever taken a personality test that's like, you're an ENTJ. I think that's what I am. Maybe an INTJ, depending on the day. But personality tests are basically like a scorecard. You're ranking yourself on all these different areas, and then it gives you a result. Well, I created one of those for creative business owners and artists and freelancers and contractors. So if you go to scorecard.craftsmancreative.co, it's a free scorecard, and it's basically like getting a little bit of free consulting from me, because what you'll do is you'll answer quick, like 30 questions, and I will tell you how you're ranking in all these different areas: mindset, outcomes, visibility, systems, all these different areas that we talked about in this episode today. And I'll identify the one area you need to focus on and give you resources of like, okay, now do this and watch this and listen to this and check out this chapter of my book. And it's all free. So there's the only thing you have to do is put in your email address, but you'll get access to all of those resources straight away. So that's an awesome place to go visit if you're looking for like, okay, I've listened to Darren talk for 45 minutes. What do I do now? Go to the scorecard. It'll tell you exactly what to do specific to your business. The other thing, though, is I do these monthly workshops, and they're free to attend as well. But I go through this whole framework that I've been talking about here on the show today and actually walk you through it. So it's generally 20, 30 people show up, so I have time to like answer questions. Now, what about this for my business? Great, let's talk about that. Use it as an example. And we're actually doing the work in real time, kind of like we did today with like putting out the four columns in your spreadsheet, right? So it's an hour and a half of that, free to attend. And it's the full overview of like how to do this systematic stuff, which you're probably not used to doing and have never done before. That's not to say that you're a bad person. It's just you've been doing the work that you love, and now you want to do it for the rest of your life because you love it so much, but you don't have the training or the skills or the background to go, oh, I know exactly how to improve this one area of my business. That's what I'm here for. I'm expert at that, and I love working with creative business owners in building these businesses out. So just workshops.craftsmancreative.co, super simple. Sign up. We do, I think, one or two a month, depending on how busy I am. But they're free to attend, and I hope that you would come and join us in one of those upcoming workshops.
Amazing. Awesome, man. Well, we'll definitely have the links to both the scorecard and the workshops down below for anyone who's interested. And yeah, nothing else left to say other than thank you again, Darren, for your time and your insights. Really appreciate it, man.
Yeah, Ben, thank you. It was a great conversation, good questions, and I really hope it's been helpful for your audience. And they can always reach out. I'm easy to find online, and be fun to chat with anybody who needs a little extra help.
Yeah, awesome, man. Sounds good. Alrighty, that's going to do us for the episode today, guys. See you next time.